Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're cutting straight to the chase and tackling a financial powerhouse that touches millions of lives, yet its inner workings often remain a bit of a mystery for many. We're talking about Ameriprise Financial, Inc., ticker symbol AMP.
It's an absolutely fascinating case study, isn't it? A diversified financial services firm with a history stretching back over 130 years, operating with an integrated business model that, while complex, has proven incredibly effective, often to surprising degrees.
Exactly. Our mission today is to give you the ultimate shortcut. We're going to distill the most important nuggets of knowledge from a stack of comprehensive investment analyses, financial reports, and industry outlooks you've shared with us. Think of it as your behind-the-scenes pass to truly understand a major player in the wealth management space. We're aiming for those genuine aha moments, surprising facts, and a crystal-clear picture of what makes Ameriprise not just tick, but, you know, thrive.
We'll be unraveling its unique integrated business model, which is a real differentiator, diving into its impressive and consistent financial performance, and critically assessing how it's strategically navigating some of the biggest trends and challenges shaping the financial world right now.
Yeah.
By the end of this deep dive, you'll walk away with a robust, nuanced understanding of its strategic positioning and the underlying drivers that truly create its value.
So if you're ready to get truly well-informed on a company that's been a cornerstone of American finance for over a century and manages a truly staggering amount of money, let's unpack this financial giant and dive deep into Ameriprise Financial. Okay, let's start with the absolute fundamentals. What exactly is Ameriprise Financial? When we talk about its size, just how big are we really talking here?
Right. So at its core, Ameriprise Financial, Inc., or AMP on the stock market, is a leading diversified financial services firm. It was established over 130 years ago, initially as Investor Syndicate, and has consistently dedicated itself to helping clients achieve their financial objectives.
Over 130 years. Wow.
Yeah, a long history. And its sheer scale is genuinely monumental. As of the end of fiscal year 2024, it reported a massive $1.5 trillion in assets under management and administration, AUMA.
$1.5 trillion.
Trillion, yeah. Now, that figure alone is almost impossible to truly visualize, but it unequivocally underscores its prominent position in the U.S. financial landscape, firmly placing it among the largest financial institutions globally.
Okay.
This isn't just about managing investment portfolios. It's about administering a vast array of financial relationships, processing countless transactions, and providing services across millions of individual and institutional clients. It's a truly vast financial universe.
$1.5 trillion. That's a number that's almost hard to wrap your head around. It's almost like trying to count all the stars in the sky.
Yeah.
And you mentioned diversified. What does that integrated business model actually look like on the ground? How do these pieces fit together?
Right. So what's truly fascinating here is its robust integrated structure. It's meticulously built around three core segments that aren't just separate departments, but are really designed to complement and feed into each other, forming a powerful synergistic ecosystem.
Okay.
First, you have Advice and Wealth Management, AWM. This is the client-facing front line, right? Where over 10,000 financial advisors provide personalized planning, investment guidance, and holistic financial advice directly to individuals, families, and small businesses. It's the gateway.
The main entry point.
Exactly. Second is Asset Management, which operates under the globally recognized Columbia Threadneedle Investments brand. This segment acts as the investment engine, managing a broad array of investment products across various asset classes like equities, fixed income, and alternative investments.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, these products are not just for Ameriprise's own clients. Columbia Threadneedle also serves third-party institutions and retail investors worldwide, making it a truly global player.
Okay, so they sell outside too.
They do. And finally, there's Retirement and Protection Solutions, RNPS, operating as RiverSource. This segment manufactures crucial insurance and annuity solutions. These products are designed to help clients protect their assets, ensure predictable income streams in retirement, and manage long-term care needs.
Gotcha. Insurance and annuities.
Precisely. So think of it like this. Instead of a client needing to go to one company for a financial plan, another for their investments, and a third for their life insurance, Ameriprise aims to offer a seamless, integrated solution all under one roof.
Right, the whole package.
It's about creating a holistic and, frankly, deeply convenient client experience.
So these aren't just separate divisions. They're designed to work together almost like different organs in a single, healthy body.
Yeah.
How does that level of integration actually translate into a real tangible competitive advantage for Ameriprise in such a crowded market?
That's precisely where the strategic genius of this model really comes into its own. This deep integration creates a significant and, crucially, a highly durable competitive advantage. By controlling both that crucial advisory relationship in AWM and the product manufacturing capabilities within asset management and RNPS, Ameriprise fosters what we call stickier client assets. It means clients are far more likely to stay with Ameriprise for all their financial needs because of the immense convenience, the consistency in advice, and the tailored solutions they receive across their entire financial life.
Stickier, yeah. Less likely to leave.
Exactly. This one-stop shop approach builds incredible client loyalty. And the structure also allows Ameriprise to capture value across the entire financial services value chain.
Okay.
Instead of just earning a fee on one component, they can generate multiple, diversified, and often recurring revenue streams, from advice fees to asset management fees and insurance premiums. These combined streams tend to exhibit greater resilience across different market cycles compared to firms that are, you know, pure play asset managers or brokers.
That makes sense. More stable income.
Definitely. And the effectiveness is quite quantifiable. Here's a stat that really drives it home. Client retention is an astonishing 3.2 times higher for clients who hold a reverse source insurance or annuity solution in addition to their wealth management accounts.
3.2 times. That's incredible.
It really is. That's not just a number. It's a direct, measurable benefit of this integration, demonstrating a powerful synergy and enhanced client loyalty that many single product firms simply can't achieve. It's about building trust and dependency by addressing a broader spectrum of client needs.
Right.
This profound integration, coupled with their long history, leads us directly to the core strengths that truly define Ameriprise's market position and a robust financial profile. We've identified three key pillars that really underpin its consistent success.
Okay, let's peel back the layers on that. What's the first pillar, the absolute foundation of their strategy?
The first pillar is undeniably the strength of the integrated advice model.
All right.
As we just discussed, the advice and wealth management division isn't just a service. It acts as an incredibly powerful distribution engine.
Right, the engine.
It effectively channels clients towards proprietary investment products managed by Columbia Threadneedle and crucial insurance and annuity solutions from RiverSource. This symbiotic relationship creates a virtuous cycle. Imagine this. An Ameriprise advisor helps a client plan retirement, identifies a need for a specific investment, offers a Columbia Threadneedle solution, and maybe addresses protection needs with RiverSource.
All connected.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. By having both the advisory relationship and the product manufacturing under one umbrella, Ameriprise fosters those stickier client assets we talked about and captures value across that entire financial services value chain.
Yeah.
This doesn't just result in higher revenue. It specifically yields high margin, recurring fee-based revenue.
Which investors love.
Which investors absolutely love for its predictability, and it promotes superior client asset retention. And that statistic, the 3.2 times higher retention.
Yeah.
It's a profound insight. It reveals that once Ameriprise addresses a client's protection, needs those core anxieties about market downturns or life changes, their entire financial relationship becomes incredibly sticky. It's not just cross-selling. It's building deeper trust.
That's a really powerful feedback loop, almost like they've engineered their own self-sustaining financial ecosystem where every part reinforces the others. What about the second pillar of their strength?
The second pillar, building on that integrated model, is their consistent financial outperformance. Ameriprise has consistently delivered remarkably strong financial results, not just during good times, but impressively, even across various challenging market cycles.
Okay.
They achieved record financial performance in fiscal year 2024. Characterized by impressive double-digit growth in both revenue and earnings per share, or EPS. This isn't just a fluke. It speaks to fundamental operational efficiency and strategic execution.
So the numbers back it up.
They really do. And a standout metric here is their adjusted operating return on equity, ROE, which exceeded 50% in 2024.
50% ROE. Yeah. For our listeners, when you hear ROE, think about how effectively a company is using the money invested in it by shareholders to generate profits. An ROE above 50% is truly top tier in the industry.
Okay.
It signals exceptional profitability and efficiency in how they utilize shareholder capital. It indicates a capital-light business model generating lots of profit without tying up huge amounts of capital. It's a very strong indicator of a well-run, highly productive business.
Exceeding 50% ROE is genuinely impressive. It's almost unheard of in this industry.
Mm.
But for our listeners, Does a figure that high ever raise questions about how sustainable it is, or if it indicates an exceptionally capital-light model that might perhaps be sacrificing some long-term investment for short-term returns? What are the potential trade-offs?
That's a very insightful question, and it's precisely why looking beyond just the number is important. While a high ROE is generally excellent, consistently exceeding 50% does indeed underscore Ameriprise's capital-light model within its wealth management segment, which is a key driver. They're leveraging their strong distribution and recurring fee income without needing massive balance sheet capital, unlike traditional banks. The trade-off is often about growth trajectory. While highly profitable per dollar of equity, it means they rely heavily on organic growth levers like advisor recruiting and client inflows rather than capital-intensive acquisitions.
Okay, so it influences their growth style.
Exactly. However, their disciplined capital management, which we'll discuss next, suggests they're not sacrificing long-term health, but rather optimizing for shareholder returns within their specific business architecture. This brings us to the final pillar.
Perfect segue. What's that final pillar?
The final pillar is disciplined capital management. A hallmark of Ameriprise's financial strategy is its robust generation of free cash flow. This isn't just a nice to have, it's the engine that underpins a truly disciplined and substantial capital return program. The company consistently returns a significant portion of its earnings to shareholders through a combination of aggressive share repurchases and a steadily increasing dividend. This has been a primary driver of shareholder value creation over time.
Giving money back to shareholders.
Exactly. It's a clear vote of confidence from management in the stability and predictability of future earnings. It demonstrates a commitment to leveraging their strong financial position for their owners.
So they're not just generating significant profits, they're actively and strategically giving a large chunk of that back to their investors. That's definitely a strong signal for shareholders looking for consistent returns and long-term value. So Ameriprise clearly has these incredible internal strengths and a very well-defined business model. But of course, no company operates in a vacuum. What are the big external forces shaping the wealth management industry right now, those powerful trends, and how is Ameriprise positioned to either benefit from or contend with them?
Yeah, this is a crucial pivot in our discussion because it brings us to the key industry dynamics. Ameriprise is strategically positioned to capitalize on several powerful secular tailwinds, which are long-term structural trends pushing them forward.
Yeah, the good stuff first.
Exactly. But it also has to navigate significant industry challenges that are structural in nature and create headwinds for firms across the board. It's a constant strategic dance, right? Leveraging the positive and mitigating the negative.
Let's absolutely start with the tailwinds.
Yeah.
The forces that are pushing them forward and creating opportunities. What are those big favorable trends that Ameriprise can ride?
Absolutely. There are a few key ones that are particularly impactful. First, we have the great wealth transfer. This is a truly massive demographic shift unfolding right now, where trillions of dollars in wealth are moving from baby boomers to younger generations, primarily Gen X and millennials.
Trillions changing hands.
It's huge. Imagine a boomer couple passing wealth to their kids. They need help with wills, trusts, taxes, even just talking about money across generations. This creates huge multi-generational opportunities for wealth managers who can connect with these new wealth holders.
Right. It's not just investing anymore.
Precisely. Second, there's a rapidly growing demand for personalized advice. Mass affluent investors, those with, say, $500,000 to $5 million in investable assets, are increasingly seeking highly personalized, goal-based financial advice. They want comprehensive planning, not just product sales.
Tailored solutions.
Exactly. This desire for holistic advice plays directly into Ameriprise's advice-centric model. And third, we're seeing an increasing appetite for alternative assets. Investors are looking beyond traditional stocks and bonds for diversification and enhanced returns, things like private credit, private equity, real estate.
Step outside the usual markets.
Right. Firms that can provide sophisticated access to these less liquid, often higher barrier to entry investments are exceptionally well positioned.
So we're talking about a lot of money changing hands between generations, people wanting much more tailored, comprehensive help, and a broader, more sophisticated menu of investment options. Those all sound like exceptionally good things for a company like Ameriprise. They seem perfectly aligned to ride those waves.
They absolutely are, and their business model is designed specifically to capture these opportunities. However, as you alluded to, they're not without significant headwinds. They must navigate simultaneously. These are powerful forces creating pressure across the entire industry.
Okay, the challenges?
Yeah. One major persistent challenge is fee compression. There's constant downward pressure on fees, especially on the asset management side and for basic advisory services. This means firms have to continually prove their value, innovate, and become more efficient just to justify their fees, doing more for less, essentially.
The race to the bottom on fees.
Kind of. Then there's the relentless shift from active to passive investment strategies. More and more money is flowing into low-cost index funds and ETFs. This fundamentally challenges traditional active managers who charge higher fees, forcing them to consistently outperform or adapt.
Passive investing is huge next.
Yes, it really is. And finally, an increasingly complex and stringent regulatory environment. Financial services firms are under intense scrutiny, leading to significantly higher compliance costs, operational burdens, and legal risks. New regulations pop up constantly.
More rules, more costs.
Exactly. Now, while these challenges certainly present costs and complexities, there's a potential silver lining. The increased regulatory burden can also act as a significant barrier to entry for smaller competitors.
Ah, interesting point.
Yeah, it's expensive to comply, which potentially benefits large, well-resourced players like Ameriprise who have the scale and capital. So it's a double-edged sword. A cost, but also maybe a competitive moat.
That's a great point about regulation actually weeding out smaller players and solidifying the position of the larger, more established firms. Now, let's truly peel back the layers on those three core business segments you mentioned earlier. How do they actually function on a day-to-day basis, and how do they contribute to the overall enterprise, especially within that powerful advice-centric ecosystem?
Right. Here's where it gets really compelling as we look at the specific roles each segment plays within that integrated ecosystem. Understanding these individual components gives us a much clearer, more granular picture of how Ameriprise creates its unique value proposition and drives its impressive results.
Let's start with the Advice and Wealth Management, or AWM, segment. You called it the primary engine. What makes it so pivotal to the entire Ameriprise machine?
Indeed, the AWM segment is truly the primary engine of Ameriprise's growth and profitability. It serves as the absolutely crucial gateway for most client relationships. Its foundational principle is built around their proprietary Confident Retirement approach.
Confident Retirement.
Yeah, it emphasizes a truly long-term, goal-based financial planning methodology. This is key because it differentiates them from purely product-centric competitors by focusing on a holistic view of a client's entire financial life, not just selling an investment.
Looking at the whole picture.
Exactly. And to deliver this, the segment boasts an incredibly extensive network of over 10,427 financial advisors as of the end of 2024. A massive footprint.
Over 10,000 advisors.
Mm-hmm. And their target market is also very strategically defined. They primarily focus on the mass affluent and emerging affluent client segments, specifically individuals and families with $500,000 to $5 million in investable assets.
The sweet spot.
It really is. This demographic is often underserved by the giant wirehouses focused on the ultra wealthy, leaving a significant market for Ameriprise. And finally, its revenue model has been strategically shifting towards stable, recurring, fee-based streams, making it less susceptible to transactional volatility.
More predictable revenue.
Correct. The largest component comes from management and financial advice fees linked to client assets. In 2024, this generated a remarkable $6.49 billion in revenue, up 18% from the prior year, driven by market growth and client inflows.
18% growth there, that's strong.
Very strong. Mm. They also generate distribution fees from sales of both proprietary Columbia Threadneedle, RiverSource, and third-party products. Plus, net investment income from Ameriprise Bank operations, like interest on client cash. And while less important now, still some transactional revenues from commissions, but the shift to fees is key.
That's a truly robust engine indeed. It sounds like the AWM segment is firing on all cylinders, strategically positioned for that sweet spot of the market. Now onto the asset management segment, Columbia Threadneedle Investments. How does it fit into this intricate picture, especially given those industry headwinds you mentioned earlier, like fee compression and the relentless shift to passive investing?
Right. So this segment provides a broad array of investment management services globally. It's the critical manufacturing arm for investment solutions within the model. It's a significant player, the 25th largest global asset manager, offering capabilities across equities, fixed income, alternatives.
25th largest globally.
Yeah, so they have scale. While its products are distributed through Ameriprise's own advisors, it's important that the majority of Columbia Threadneedle's business actually comes from third-party intermediaries and institutional sales globally. So it has its own reach.
Okay, not just internal.
Correct. Revenue here is predominantly asset-based management fees, calculated on assets under management, AUM. This makes its performance quite sensitive to market movements and, crucially, to net asset flows, money coming in versus going out.
Market sensitive.
Very.
Yeah.
Performance fees can also contribute sometimes. Now, this segment faces intense industry pressures the shift to passive fee compression. It creates this fascinating strategic paradox.
A paradox. How so?
Well, despite strong long-term investment track records, over 70% of funds outperforming peers over 5 years and 80% over 10 years, the segment reported net outflows of $8.7 billion in Q2 2025, mainly from institutional clients.
Outflows, even with good performance.
Exactly. And that contrasts sharply with AWM's robust $35 billion in client net inflows in 2024. So you have strong performance, but money leaving, particularly from big institutions.
So what are they doing about that? Seems like a big disconnect.
It's a significant strategic hurdle. They're likely engaging in targeted efforts to re-engage those institutional clients, maybe launching new products in high-demand areas like private credit or sustainable investing, and internally intensifying collaboration with AWM advisors, maybe through better training or incentives, to push proprietary funds. It's a real challenge, aligning product manufacturing with that successful distribution arm.
That's a critical point. A powerful distribution arm on one side, but a product manufacturing arm facing external pressure and experiencing outflows. The real tug of war there, highlighting the complexities of their integrated model. Finally, let's talk about Retirement and Protection Solutions, or RMPS, under the RiverSource brand. What essential role does this segment play in completing Ameriprise's holistic offering?
Right. The RNPS segment, RiverSource, manufactures and provides those crucial annuities and insurance products, variable and structured annuities, life insurance, disability income insurance.
The protection piece.
Exactly. And these aren't just standalone products. They're deeply integrated into the client experience and that confident retirement planning approach. They provide risk management and income generation solutions that complement the investment advice.
Mm-hmm.
The revenue streams here are diverse. You've got fees on variable annuities, premiums on insurance policies, and significant net investment income from the RiverSource general account portfolio, the assets backing their insurance reserves. Strategically, they've shifted focus recently away from capital-intensive products towards solutions with better risk-adjusted returns. Structured variable annuities are a prime example of strong client demand because they offer growth potential and downside protection.
Good in volatile markets.
Very attractive. And they require less capital from Ameriprise compared to older guaranteed products. Why it matters. This segment consistently generates stable, long-duration earnings and strong, predictable free cash flow. It's a significant contributor to the overall financial strength and capital flexibility of the entire enterprise.
A stable bedrock.
Exactly. It provides a resilient earnings base that can buffer against market volatility in the other segments. It's the foundation supporting the structure.
It's clear that Ameriprise operates as a remarkably well-oiled machine, carefully segmenting its operations while ensuring deep integration. But those external factors you mentioned earlier, the macroeconomic environment and broader industry trends, cast a huge shadow over any financial firm. How sensitive is Ameriprise to things like interest rates and the stock market? Do they truly feel every ripple, or are they somewhat insulated?
That's an incredibly important question, and the answer is yes. The company's financial performance is intrinsically and significantly linked to the broader macroeconomic environment. They are certainly not operating in isolation.
Okay, so they feel it.
Definitely. Let's talk about interest rate sensitivity first. Ameriprise has a dual sensitivity. Historically, a rising rate environment like pre-2024 generally benefited them. Higher rates meant better net interest income at Ameriprise Bank and improved yields on their insurance portfolios.
Rising rates were good.
Generally, yes. However, the monetary easing cycle initiated by the U.S. Federal Reserve in 2024 involving rate cuts now presents a headwind to their spread-based revenues.
So rate cuts hurt them now.
They create pressure, that 100 basis point reduction you hear about. That means the Fed dropped rates by one full percentage point. For Ameriprise Bank, that means earning less on cash and loans, pressuring revenues derived from the interest rate spread.
Right.
This dynamic was already evident in Q2 2025 results, where the AWM segment showed lower interest revenue after those rate cuts. Then there's the equity market correlation.
The stock market connection.
Exactly. A significant portion of their revenue, especially in AWM and asset management, is fee-based, tied directly to the value of client assets. So their top line and bottom line results exhibit a high correlation with global equity market performance.
So market goes up, they do well. Market goes down,
their fee revenue shrinks. The strong equity market appreciation in 2024 was a primary catalyst for their record revenue and earnings that year because the asset base grew.
So rising markets really boost them, but falling rates now create a challenge. It's a delicate, interconnected balance they're managing. What about those broader, longer-term industry transformations we discussed earlier? How is Ameriprise actively aligning its strategy to stay not just relevant, but ahead of these powerful secular trends?
That's where their proactive strategic initiatives truly come into play. Ameriprise is navigating this period of profound transformation, and its strategic roadmap appears exceptionally well aligned with several key secular trends. They're aiming not just to adapt, but to thrive.
Okay, how are they doing that?
First, regarding digital transformation and AI, the industry is rapidly leveraging tech. Ameriprise's consistent, significant annual investment in its integrated Practice Techie platform directly addresses this.
Practice Techie?
Yeah, it's a key differentiator. It equips advisors with state-of-the-art tools for e-meetings, automated account opening, mobile practice management, powered by robust brokerage platforms, allows advisors to work flexibly from anywhere.
Technology for advisors.
Crucial. Second, the demand for personalization and holistic advice. Clients want more than just investments, tax, estate planning, healthcare. Ameriprise's advice-centric model is structurally incredibly well-positioned to meet this demand for more sophisticated, integrated services.
Fits their model perfectly.
It really does. Third, continued growth in alternative investments. Sophisticated investors want private credit, private equity, real estate. Ameriprise is actively expanding its offerings here, including the launch of its new flexible Signature Wealth Program in May 2025.
Signature Wealth Program.
It's a unified managed account, or UMA, designed for highly customized portfolios, including alternatives, giving clients access to these less liquid, higher barrier to entry assets, and finally, dealing with regulatory complexity.
What are the regulations?
Heightened scrutiny from the SEC on cybersecurity, ESG, communications. New rules mean significant compliance costs. But as we discussed, while challenging, these rising costs create higher barriers to entry for smaller competitors, potentially benefiting large players like Ameriprise who can afford the investment.
Turning a challenge into an advantage, maybe?
Potentially, yes. It strengthens their position relative to smaller firms.
Every company exists in a fiercely competitive arena, and financial services is one of the toughest. So who is Ameriprise truly going up against, and what makes them stand out in that crowded space? How do they carve out their unique niche among such formidable players?
That's a really important question, getting to the heart of their strategic positioning. Ameriprise occupies a very unique hybrid position in the market. It combines the brand recognition and integrated platform of a traditional wirehouse with the entrepreneurial spirit and flexibility often favored by independent advisors.
A hybrid model. Interesting.
Yeah, it allows it to compete effectively across multiple segments, which is a key differentiator.
Okay, let's unpack that competitive landscape. What are the different categories of competitors they face, from the absolute giants to the more specialized players, and who are some key names?
We can broadly categorize them into three main groups. First, the global wirehouses, the titans like Morgan Stanley and UBS. They primarily serve high net worth, H&W, and ultra high net worth, UH&W clients with sophisticated global services.
The biggest players.
Exactly. While formidable, their intense focus on the wealthiest leaves substantial opportunity for Ameriprise in its core mass affluent market, where wirehouses might be less focused. Then there are multi-channel firms like Raymond James.
Raymond James, okay.
They're a direct and very relevant competitor. Operate a similar multi-channel advisor model, employees and independent contractors like Ameriprise. Their private client group competes directly for clients and, crucially, advisors. Finally, independent broker-dealers and LPL Financial is the leader here.
LPL?
LPL Financial is the largest independent broker-dealer in the U.S., a pure-play distribution platform providing tech and services to independent advisors, a primary competitor in advisor recruitment, and they've pursued a distinct, highly acquisitive growth strategy.
Numbers always help us truly understand the scale and how they stack up against these powerful rivals. Could you give us a quick quantitative benchmark against some of these peers to illustrate the differences?
Certainly. Direct comparisons can be tricky, different reporting standards and all, but we can highlight some key metrics from recent quarters. For total client assets, Ameriprise AWM had $1.1 trillion in Q2 2025. Compare that to Morgan Stanley Wealth Management at $8.2 trillion, or LPL Financial at $1.8 trillion.
So Ameriprise is big, but Morgan Stanley is enormous.
Exactly. In terms of number of financial advisors, Ameriprise had 10,427 end of 24. LPL boasts over 29,000 as of Q1 25, reflecting their huge independent network.
Big difference in advisor count.
Yeah. Looking at segment pre-tax margin, Ameriprise AWM reported a healthy 29.0% in Q2 25. Morgan Stanley Wealth Management was similar at 28.3%. LPL reported an impressive 40.0% adjusted margin in Q1 25. But remember, LPL's model is different. Pure distribution, fewer costs. Not apples to apples.
Right. Different business structure.
Precisely. Finally, net new assets, NA, crucial growth metric. Ameriprise AWM gathered $4.3 billion in Q2 25. Morgan Stanley brought in $59.2 billion. LPL, an impressive $71 billion in Q1 25, shows the varying scales of asset gathering.
Those numbers definitely show a wide range in terms of scale and asset flows. It paints a vivid picture of a competitive yet diverse landscape. What about qualitative differences, especially in their growth strategies? Are they all trying to grow the same way, or do they have fundamentally different philosophies?
This is a crucial distinction, highlighting a fundamental strategic choice. Ameriprise's growth model is predominantly organic, a build deeper approach, you could say.
Build deeper.
Yeah. Centered on steady, selective recruitment of experienced, high-producing advisor teams and relentlessly increasing the productivity of its existing advisors. Leveraging the strength of its integrated platform for potentially slower but more profitable and sustainable per advisor growth, capturing value from advice and product.
Focus on quality and productivity.
Exactly. The risk is slower pace. In sharp contrast, LPL Financial has pursued a more aggressive build bigger strategy centered on large-scale acquisitions. In 2024 and 2025, LPL onboarded thousands of advisors and tens of billions in assets through major deals, Prudential, Atria Wealth, Wintrust.
During growth.
Essentially, yes. This delivers faster top-line growth and rapid market share gains, but it comes with substantial integration risks, merging cultures, tech, client books is complex. Also, LPL, being pure distribution, typically achieves lower overall margins than Ameriprise because it doesn't capture those product manufacturing profits.
So two very different playbooks, organic depth versus acquisitive scale.
Very different strategic playbooks indeed.
We've talked about what Ameriprise does, who they compete with, and their distinct strategy. Now, let's really see how all of that translates into actual hard financial results. What does their recent performance look like, particularly over the last few years, and how consistent has it been?
Right. If we connect all these threads, Ameriprise Financial has demonstrated a truly robust and consistent track record of financial growth over the past several years, culminating in that record-setting performance in fiscal year 2024. This consistency, even through dynamic environments, strongly underscores the resilience of their model.
Okay, let's look at the consolidated numbers first to get that bird's-eye view of the entire enterprise's financial health.
The data clearly illustrates a powerful and accelerating growth trajectory. Total revenues, GAF, grew from $14.26 billion in 2022 to $17.26 billion in 2024. That's an 11% increase in 2024 alone, driven by strong markets and client inflows.
11% revenue growth, solid.
Very solid. Pre-tax income.
Yeah.
Jumped from $2.65 billion in 2022 to $4.27 billion in 2024. That's a 32% increase year over year in 2024.
32%, even better.
Yeah. Net income. Yeah. Similarly, increased from $2.1 billion in 2022 to $3.4 billion in 2024, a 33% increase in 2024. This outsized earnings growth came from higher investment yields, better transactional activity, and favorable market impacts on insurance products.
Multiple factors driving profit.
Exactly. Diluted EPS, GOJP, climbed steadily from $27.70 in 2022 to $33.05 in 2024, reflecting earnings growth and effective capital management. And perhaps most notably, their adjusted operating ROE reached that industry-leading 51.6% in 2024, up from 48.6% in 2022.
Back to that incredible ROE.
It really is exceptional. Demonstrates superior efficiency and profitability.
Those are seriously strong numbers across the board, especially that ROE exceeding 50%. It truly speaks to the operational efficiency you highlighted earlier. But which segments are actually driving this impressive performance? Is it all three equally, or is there a clear standout doing most of the heavy lifting?
A deeper look reveals that the Advice and Wealth Management AWM division has unequivocally solidified its position as the primary driver of the firm's overall earnings. It's not just a slight lead, it's a dominant contribution.
AWM is the star.
Absolutely. In 2024, the AWM segment contributed a remarkable 65% of the company's total adjusted operating earnings. That's up significantly from 58% in 2022, highlighting its growing importance and powerhouse role.
65%.
Yeah. And the segment's revenue growth has been particularly robust. AWM management and financial advice fees grew an impressive 18% in 2024. Contrast that with more modest 1% growth in asset management fees and 1% growth in RMPS premiums.
Huge difference in growth rates.
Massive. It starkly underscores the relative strength of the advice-driven wealth management business compared to the product manufacturing businesses facing those headwinds. AWM is truly the engine pulling the train.
So the AWM segment is really pulling its weight, and then some, as the main profit driver. That makes perfect sense given their fundamental focus on advice. What about attracting new clients and, crucially, making sure their existing advisors are productive and growing their businesses? Those must be absolutely critical for sustaining this kind of growth momentum.
Indeed, these are critical success factors, especially for AWM, and Ameriprise has shown strong performance here, too. The firm attracted $35 billion in strong client net inflows in 2024. That's a testament to their advisor network and value proposition.
$35 billion in new money.
Yeah. And a significant portion, $33.1 billion in 2024 alone, up from $24.2 billion in 2023, went directly into high-margin advisory wrap accounts.
Wrap accounts again. Why are those so important?
Because they bundle services, advice, and costs into a single fee based on assets. It simplifies things for clients and aligns the advisor's incentive with portfolio growth, moving away from commissions. This shifts revenue toward more stable, predictable, fee-based income.
Got it. Better alignment, stable fees.
Exactly. Concurrently, advisor productivity has reached record levels. This is directly linked to increased revenue per advisor and higher advisor compensation, creating a powerful positive feedback loop for advisor satisfaction and retention. Keeps the talent happy.
And finally, how does all this robust financial performance ultimately translate into value for shareholders? How do they manage their capital in a way that directly benefits their investors?
Right. Ameriprise's capital allocation strategy is a central defining element of its value proposition. The diversified model consistently generates substantial, predictable free cash flow, deployed through a highly disciplined capital return framework focused heavily on dividends and, very aggressively, on share repurchases.
Dividends and buybacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Regarding their dividend policy, they have a long history of paying and consistently increasing their quarterly dividend. It grew significantly from $1.25 per share in early 2023 to $1.60 per share by mid-2025, reflecting management's confidence.
Steady dividend growth.
But what truly stands out is their share repurchase program. Ameriprise executes one of the most aggressive and consistent buyback programs in the entire financial services sector. They repurchased $3.5 billion of stock in 2024 alone.
$3.5 billion just on buyback.
Just in 1 year. Funded by large authorizations like another $3.5 billion program announced July 2023, running through September 2025. This aggressive strategy isn't just returning cash, it's core financial architecture.
How does it work as architecture?
Think of it like this. Buying back shares reduces the total number of shares outstanding. So for every remaining share, your piece of the company's earnings per share, EPS, automatically gets bigger, even if total profits are flat.
Ah, makes each share more valuable.
Precisely. It systematically reduces the share count, acting as a powerful accelerant for EPS growth, magnifying operational earnings growth. For example, the 19% increase in adjusted operating EPS in 2024 was driven by both a 13% increase in earnings and the significant share count reduction. They're targeting an impressive 85% payout ratio for the second half of 2025, mainly through buybacks.
85% payout. Wow, it's a huge commitment to returning capital.
It really shows their unwavering commitment to enhancing shareholder value.
Looking forward, it's clear Ameriprise has built incredible momentum. How are they planning to sustain and even accelerate this impressive trajectory? What are their key strategic initiatives to fuel future growth in such a dynamic and competitive industry?
Ameriprise's growth strategy remains primarily centered on organic initiatives. This means enhancing existing businesses and deepening client relationships, rather than chasing those large, potentially risky, transformative acquisitions like some peers.
Building smarter, not just bigger.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Building smarter and stronger from within.
So it's about refining what they already do best. What are those key organic growth levers they're actively pulling to keep that EWM engine roaring and drive overall enterprise growth?
Two stand out as particularly important, and they really feed into each other. First, advisor recruiting and retention. Continuously recruiting experienced, productive advisors from competitors is an absolute cornerstone of their AWM growth strategy.
Getting top talent.
Yes. Their value proposition, strong brand, integrated tech, flexible platform consistently attracts top teams. This focus on established talent combined with strong retention of existing advisors directly fuels net new asset growth. It's a constant battle for talent. Second, they're strategically expanding Ameriprise Bank, actively growing its capabilities to better serve wealth clients' banking and lending needs directly within their ecosystem, launching new CDs, HELOCs, checking accounts.
Adding more banking services.
Exactly. The goal is twofold. Capture a larger share of the client's financial wallet, get them doing more banking with Ameriprise, and deepen those crucial client relationships. Plus, it creates a stable, growing source of net interest income complementary to their fee-based business.
Makes them stickier again.
Precisely, becoming an even more indispensable part of their clients' financial lives.
So, attracting and keeping top talent and offering more banking services to existing clients, that makes a lot of sense for an integrated model looking to maximize client relationships. What about technology and innovation? You mentioned their Practice Techie platform earlier. How critical is that for fueling future growth and maintaining a competitive edge?
Technology and digital transformation are absolutely huge for Ameriprise. They've made significant ongoing investments. It's not just keeping up, it's about leading. The Practice Techie platform is a key differentiator in attracting and retaining advisors.
Right. The advisor tech.
It streamlines practice management, improves efficiency, e-signatures, mobile deposit, customizable brokerage platform, lets advisors work flexibly from anywhere, which is a major draw today. Beyond advisor tools, they have sophisticated client-facing tools.
What about for the clients themselves?
The Ameriprise Financial app lets clients access accounts, track goals, deposit checks, communicate securely. A key feature is the Total View account aggregation tool.
Total View.
Yeah, it enables clients and advisors to see a truly holistic financial picture by linking accounts from over 18,000 other financial institutions in one secure location. Really facilitates comprehensive planning by providing a single dashboard of a client's entire financial life.
That Total View sounds incredibly useful for both holistic planning for advisors and for the client to truly feel like their advisor has a complete picture. What about product innovation to meet those evolving client needs we discussed, especially with the growing demand for alternatives?
Product innovation is absolutely vital, and they're not standing still. One significant development is the Signature Wealth Program, launched in May 2025. It's a new flexible unified managed account, or UMA.
The UMA, okay.
It's a direct response to the shift toward personalized model-based portfolios. UMAs are powerful because a single account can hold various investment vehicles, SMAs, mutual funds, ETFs for customized, efficient portfolio management. And recognizing the demand for assets not correlated with traditional markets, they've been actively expanding their platform of alternative investments.
Well, more alternatives.
Things like exchange funds, private placements, designed for sophisticated investors seeking diversification and potential enhanced returns outside the usual stock bond markets, shows commitment to a broad evolving menu of solutions.
All right, we've covered Ameriprise's strengths, their market, their impressive financial performance, and their ambitious future plans. It paints a very comprehensive and compelling picture. But no company, especially one in the complex financial services industry, is ever without risk. What are the main challenges and potential roadblocks Ameriprise could face moving forward, and how do they think about mitigating those?
Right. This is a crucial area for any in-depth analysis. Understanding the significant risks inherent in their business model and the strategies they employ to mitigate them. We can categorize these into market, competitive, and regulatory domains. Acknowledging these helps provide a balanced perspective.
Let's start with market and economic risks. How exposed is Ameriprise to the broader economic winds, like recessions or market downturns?
The firm's financial performance is indeed highly sensitive to external market and economic conditions. They are definitely not immune. First, market fluctuations are a constant concern.
Market ups and downs.
Exactly. A significant portion of revenue is fee-based on client asset values. A prolonged market downturn would directly reduce AUM and AUA, leading to lower fee revenue. Also, variable annuity products with guarantees are exposed to risk in declining markets, potentially needing higher reserves.
Double hit from falling markets.
Potentially, yes. Second, interest rate changes, as we touched on. Profitability of banking, insurance, annuity products is sensitive to rate shifts. While they use sophisticated hedging strategies and financial maneuvers to offset potential losses, there's no guarantee these will be fully effective against significant rate volatility.
Hedging isn't foolproof.
No guarantee. It's a constant battle to manage that exposure.
What about competition? We just talked about their unique hybrid positioning and organic growth strategy. But are there specific competitive risks that could undermine their efforts, particularly for attracting clients and advisors?
Absolutely. Ameriprise operates in intensely competitive industries, presenting several key risks. They face direct and fierce competition for clients and advisors, competing with wirehouses, brokers, banks, asset managers, insurers, for both client assets and talented advisors.
Everyone wants the same clients and advisors.
Pretty much. Some competitors may have greater financial resources, larger market share, or different regulatory structures, potentially creating a disadvantage. The battle for high-producing advisors who bring clients is particularly intense and expensive. Then there's the critical risk of investment performance, especially for Columbia Threadneedle.
Performance matters for asset managers.
Hugely. Sustained underperformance relative to competitors or benchmarks could lead to increased redemptions, declining sales, termination of institutional mandates, further pressuring asset flows, as we saw some evidence of. Even strong long-term records can be hurt by short-term dips.
And finally, regulation. It seems like the financial industry is always under a microscope, with new rules and increased scrutiny constantly emerging. How much of a risk is that for a firm like Ameriprise, and what specific types of regulations are most impactful?
It is a genuinely significant and increasingly complex area of risk. They operate under a comprehensive, ever-evolving regulatory framework. This translates to heavy regulation across virtually all aspects of the business. Compliance is expensive, resource-intensive, complex.
Costly and complicated.
Very. Changes in laws, new regulations, or just interpretations can materially affect operations, require costly changes, increase burdens. Furthermore, as a savings and loan holding company, they have specific regulatory oversight by the Federal Reserve Board.
The Fed watches them closely.
Yes, imposing rigorous standards on capital, stress testing, resolution planning. These ensure stability but can limit activities like paying dividends or repurchasing stock, directly impacting their capital return strategy. Plus, increasing focus on cybersecurity necessitates continuous, substantial investment.
More costs for cybersecurity.
Significant costs. The regulatory environment is a constantly moving target, demanding huge resources.
With all this information, their powerful integrated model, their impressive financial performance, their strategies for future growth, and the risks they face, the big question for many of our listeners is, what does the market truly think of Ameriprise? How is it valued today compared to its own history and against its direct competitors?
Right. Valuation provides that crucial context, giving insight into how investors perceive its current strengths and future prospects. And Ameriprise's historical and peer comparison reveals some genuinely interesting nuances.
Let's start with its historical valuation. Has the market always valued it the same way, or has there been a shift in how investors see its potential?
Not at all the same. Over the last 10 years, Ameriprise's stock traded at a mean price-to-earnings P.E. ratio of around 12.66x. However, if we look at late 2024 and mid-2025, its P.E. has been more in the range of 15x to 16x, based on trailing 12-month earnings.
So it's trading higher than its historical average.
Significantly higher. This indicates the stock is currently trading at a notable premium to its long-term average, suggesting investors now have higher expectations for its future earnings growth and profitability compared to the past decade. The market seems to be increasingly recognizing its consistent performance and strong model.
So the market expects more from it now, which explains that premium. How does that compare to its peers today? Is that premium fully warranted when we look at the competition, or does it tell us something else?
Comparing against direct competitors is essential for relative value. For P.E. ratio, TTM, Ameriprise is at 15.82x. That's roughly in line with Raymond James, 15.95x, but trades at a discount to Morgan Stanley, 17.54x, UBS, 20.24x, and especially LPL Financial, 24.44x.
Cheaper than Morgan Stanley, UBS, and LPL on a P.E. basis.
Correct. Might suggest the market sees higher growth or a purer play in some of those others, like LPL's acquisition strategy. However, look at price-book ratio, TTM. Ameriprise's is 5.81x.
Price-to-book, 5.81x.
That's significantly higher than balance sheet-intensive firms like Morgan Stanley, 1.28x, and UBS, 1.42x, and even Raymond James, 2.65x. Interestingly, it's comparable to the capital light model of LPL, also 5.81x.
High price to book, like LPL. Why?
It directly reflects their capital light, fee-based business models. They don't rely on massive balance sheets like banks. They generate earnings from assets they manage, not assets they own. Finally, dividend yield, TTM for Ameriprise, is 1.24%.
Lower dividend yield.
Lower than Morgan Stanley, 4.14%, and UBS, 2.25%, but higher than LPL, 0.33%, and similar to Raymond James, 1.08%.
So what's the bottom line on valuation?
What's truly fascinating is that the firm's financial profile, characterized by its exceptionally high and stable return on equity, remember that 52.7% adjusted operating ROE in 2024 provides a very strong rationale for a premium valuation, especially on price book.
The high ROE justifies a higher multiple.
Exactly. High quality, capital efficient businesses producing superior returns often command higher multiples. The market rewards efficiency. This, combined with its consistent free cash flow and aggressive capital return program, strongly suggests the market is appropriately rewarding Ameriprise for its superior financial performance and the distinct strength of its integrated model. It's a business efficiently converting capital into profits.
Wow, we've truly covered a tremendous amount of ground today. What an absolutely deep dive into Ameriprise Financial. As we wrap up, what's the main overarching takeaway you hope our listeners carry with them from this comprehensive analysis?
Yeah, we covered a lot. If we connect all these intricate threads, the fundamental undeniable strength of Ameriprise Financial is truly anchored in its mature, advice-driven wealth management business. That AWM division has proven to be an incredibly powerful engine for organic growth, consistently attracting assets and generating substantial, predictable free cash flow.
AWM is the core strength.
Absolutely. And this financial strength isn't just a number. It enables a dual strategy, investing aggressively in critical areas like tech to maintain its edge and simultaneously executing that robust capital return program, the buybacks and dividends, which is a cornerstone of its shareholder value proposition.
So that core strength in wealth management is crystal clear, a real powerhouse for the enterprise. But you also highlighted some ongoing structural challenges for the company as a whole.
Absolutely. The central dynamic moving forward will be balancing that impressive growth and profitability of AWM against those persistent industry-wide headwinds facing asset management and RMPS. Fee compression, the shift to passive, those challenges remain formidable.
Can't ignore the headwinds.
No. Plus, their ability to navigate a complex macro environment, shifting interest rates, market volatility, while managing an increasingly stringent regulatory landscape will be critical. It's about maintaining core strength while strategically adapting the other components to ensure the whole ecosystem stays resilient.
So ultimately, it's about strategically leveraging that core strength to uplift and integrate the other parts of the enterprise and adapt to a constantly changing world, almost like a carefully choreographed financial dance. Here's where it gets truly fascinating. The long-term trajectory of Ameriprise will be defined by its capacity to continue innovating and deepening that integration, ensuring all parts of its unique ecosystem continue to work synergistically.
Precisely. It's a compelling testament to the power of a well-executed integrated model, even in a competitive and rapidly evolving industry. Their ongoing success will hinge on continuing to evolve that integration to remain relevant and valuable.
As you reflect on this deep dive into Ameriprise, we encourage you to think about this. What aspect of a diversified financial services firm, whether it's the strength of its integrated advice model, the challenges it faces in product manufacturing, its approach to capital management, or its strategic response to industry trends, do you find most reassuring or most concerning as you plan for your own financial future? Let that thought percolate. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you feel significantly more informed and equipped to understand the nuances of a major financial player like Ameriprise. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into your sources.